5 years ago, Eddie Murphy was one of the two or three biggest stars in the world. But his last three films, Harlem Nights, Another 48 Hours, and Boomerang, have been box office disappointments. The people at Walt Disney are billing his new picture as a return to form, a naughty satirical comedy in the spirit of one of his biggest hits, Trading Places. Film critic Stephen Schiff went to see The Distinguished Gentleman.
Here's what I can't figure out. The Distinguished Gentleman is a political comedy. It's about what happens when a Florida congressman named Jeff Johnson dies, and a wily con man, also named Jeff Johnson, is elected on name recognition alone. The man who wrote and executive produced the film is Marty Kaplan, and I can't think of anyone better qualified to write a political comedy. Kaplan was Walter Mondale's chief speechwriter and deputy campaign manager. His wife, Susan Estrich, ran Michael Dukakis's campaign. Kaplan has a doctorate in modern thought from Stanford, and he was once the president of the Harvard Lampoon. Now, after a stint as a Disney VP, he's writing and producing movies on his own. From all this, we can conclude one of two things. Either Kaplan lost every battle he fought in those notorious Disney script conferences, or else California scientists should look into the combined effects of smog and tofu on higher brain function. It's true that The Distinguished Gentleman is topical. There are references in it to the SNL scandal, to PACs and lobbyists and campaign abuses. But Kaplan and director Jonathan Lynn have waded into waters that are so familiar they've become stagnant. Comedies about con men and boobs getting elected to high office have been standard fare since the days of The Great Man Votes and Of Thee I Sing. And just this year we've already had Bob Roberts, a so-so movie that nevertheless leaves The Distinguished Gentleman gargling pond scum. As Jeff Johnson, Eddie Murphy has some fun campaigning for himself, riding through different ethnic neighborhoods in a sound truck and showing off the various Jewish, Chinese, and street black accents he does so well. But once the election is won, about a half hour into the movie, we get the sort of toothless political satire that wouldn't pass muster in a summer camp skit. This victory speech, for instance.
People, we ran a positive campaign. We campaigned on the issue. The issue is change. Change for the future. The people have spoken. Ask not what your country can do for you. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. Live free or die. And in conclusion, read my lips.
Eddie Murphy's probably better than most people at delivering lame material like that, but he's not as good as he used to be. Wearing a haircut that makes him look more Gumby-esque than ever, Murphy spends the movie popping his eyes and indulging his Donkey Bray laugh. But his performance looks tight and artificial, and his timing's way off. Strangest of all, Murphy seems to have lost his cool. The sense of loosey-goosey street savvy and knowingness that gave his performances in Trading Places and Beverly Hills Cop such a kick has evaporated. Those movies were about what it was to be a down-to-earth person in a highfalutin world, but Murphy can't transfer that conceit to Washington. Even Ted Kennedy looks more down-to-earth than he does. It isn't long before the movie devolves into a standard Disney formula. Jeff Johnson reforms for the love of a good woman. And that's pretty cornball stuff. But by the time it arrives, whatever life and insight the movie might have offered has long since been eaten away. Memo to Marty Kaplan. Yes, Washington corrupts, but Hollywood corrupts absolutely.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.